time for the Susan Taylor Podcast, where we discuss the yoga of mind, medicine, and healing. Author of Feeling Good Matters, Sexual Radiance, and the Vital Energy Program, Dr. Taylor imparts authentic knowledge and practical tools that inspire, educate, and empower us to be a healing force for positive change. So join us and take your life and our planet to the next level.
Hello and welcome to episode 16, Food for Focus, Nourish Your Brain. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the importance of neurotransmitters in connecting our mind and brain, and talk about some symptoms of neurotransmitter imbalance, and finally discuss how specific nutrients will support our brain, namely the carbohydrates, fats and proteins, vitamins and minerals. What do they do within our brain network? I'm looking forward to speaking about these great topics that actually came from you. So without further ado, let's get started. Does your brain have enough energy to focus? When, what, and how you eat has a tremendous effect on all the operations of your brain. A reduction in attention span and difficulty with focusing are key indicators of an imbalance in your brain chemistry. Broadly speaking, symptoms include attention deficit, poor comprehension and retention of information, whether you're listening or reading. Also, intense bursts of energy characterized by hypervigilance, an inability to calm down, feeling impulsive, and even having some anxiety. All of these can be attributed to an imbalance in our brain chemistry. You know, there are pharmaceuticals that can be prescribed for such conditions, and at times, perhaps they're needed. But these medications are often quick, short-term solutions. They do not create a sustainable and balanced situation over the long run, necessarily. In some cases, they may, but in not most cases. In fact, most cases, I think that they're overused. So if we look at brain connections, our brain needs energy to operate. We know that. In fact, 20% of the energy that you consume goes to this 3-pound mass between your ears. It would be hard to overstate the complexity of such a vast network of specialized cells that make up your nervous system, including your brain. The average human brain houses over 100 billion nerve cells, we'll call them neurons, which each connect about 10,000 or so other cells. They're connected to 10,000 other cells. So the 100 billion nerve cells are even connected to another 10,000. Each one is to another 10,000. If we do the math, it equals approximately 1,000 trillion connections in our brain. This means that you have, even on a slow day, roughly 10,000 times more connections in your brain than there are stars in the Milky Way. Everything we do, all of our movements, thoughts, and feelings, is the result of these nerve cells talking with one another via electrical and chemical signals. Neurons are not in direct contact with each other, and we've talked about that before. In order to communicate with each other, they rely on highly specialized chemicals, and these are called neurotransmitters. And I have that in the book, Feeling Good Matters. I believe there's a whole chapter on neurotransmitters and what foods support and what vitamins support these neurotransmitters. Because it's pretty remarkable how these are our communicators, and we need to start, you know, paying attention to how we could nourish them, supplement our diets with them in order to have the greatest potential in working with ourselves and in our life. What are neurotransmitters? Well, neurotransmitters are chemical messengers that coordinate the transmission of signals from one nerve cell, a neuron, to the next. These all-important brain chemicals interact with target sites. These target sites are called receptors, and they're located throughout the brain and body to regulate a wide variety of processes, including mood, memory, cognition, attention, concentration, as we spoke about focus in our last podcast, alertness, energy, even appetite and cravings or suppression. Emotions, fear, pleasure, joy, anger, sleep, the list goes on, perception of pain. All of this occurs within us, within our nervous system, because these chemical messengers our key targets. They're the key lock targets for this to happen. We're all connected, and we know that. We're connected. Our bodies are connected. There's nothing that's separated out in the universe. Whatever goes on in one part of our brain-body network certainly is connected to other systems. Also, I've mentioned whatever goes on in our mind is reflected in the brain. Our neurotransmitters are the chemical link in the brain and spinal cord with the rest of our body, the muscles, the organs, and the glands. So when we think about this, our metabolism, hormones, stress response, all of that are interconnected. Keep in mind that our brain is not only an array of wires, nerve cells, and neurons, but also a highly evolved organ with a broad range of chemical happenings. And these chemical happenings, again, I'll emphasize, are neurotransmitters because they affect every cell, tissue, and system in your body. As I mentioned previously, because neurotransmitters are functionally integrated with our immune system, metabolism via our thyroid, endocrine system, as well as our stress response system, and that's via the adrenal glands, any neurotransmitter imbalance can cause a widespread of health issues. In fact, research has shown neurotransmitter imbalances are connected to brain fog. That's where we lose our mental focus. We have ADD, ADHD, impaired memory, poor decision making. When the imbalances occur, we get fatigued. We also experience insomnia, difficult falling asleep, staying asleep, or even both. We experience pain, migraines, fibromyalgia. We may have obesity issues, metabolic syndrome. That has to do with the insulin resistance and diabetes. Mood disorders, depression, mood swings, irritability. May experience anxiety, panic, or obsessions, or post-traumatic stress disorder. May even experience behavioral disturbances, addictions, binge eating, compulsions, impulsivity, gambling, autisms. And hormonal imbalances. You know, outside of age-appropriate levels, we could have PMS, estrogen dominance, low testosterone, hypothyroidism. All of these can be a result or in sync with neurotransmitter imbalances. In fact, physicians who are specialize in this have worked with neurotransmitters, bringing them back and stabilizing neurotransmission within the brain itself. And many of these symptoms have just gone away. Stress, poor diet, neurotoxins, genetic predisposition, and certain pharmaceuticals can cause these levels of neurotransmitters to be out of optimal range, creating a host of symptoms that result in a decline in our health. And we all know that stress is so prevalent now. Poor diet is, it's rampant. Neurotoxins with the 80,000 or so chemicals that are being dumped into our food sources, water supply, of course, we're going to have problems. And then the genetic predisposition, that's a given due to all the genetic malfunctions because of all our chemicals and abuse, what we're doing to our bodies with the environment. But there's always good news. And the good news is that for each neurotransmitter, we discover that we can discover something to put them back in balance. And usually there are natural remedies such as foods, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, herbs, even homeopathy to help restore proper balance. Here are some suggestions from basic foundation nutritional principles for nourishing your brain properly. I'm just going to give you an overview and then we'll go to each one of them individually. Carbohydrates fuel your brain. That means carbohydrates provide energy. Fats insulate the brain. They support the neurotransmission through the myelination. If you recall, the covering of the neurons is fat, and this helps with conductivity of electrical signals. So fats help with that, the proper fats, of course. Proteins, they connect our brain. Why? Because they make neurotransmitters. And vitamins and minerals protect our brain. They help combat the aging free radicals. Free radicals, think about a free radical. It's a chemistry term, but think about it when we rust, when metals rust outside due to the inclement weather and the when it's raining and our bikes even rust, that would be like a free radical happening. It's an oxygenation that happens, and that happens in our body moment to moment metabolically. But our body can take care of that on its own if it's healthy. Let's take a look. We'll turn now and take a look at each one of the carbohydrates, fats, proteins, vitamins, and minerals, and see what influence that has on the brain. Complex carbohydrates. Carbohydrates, I'm going to suggest eat carbohydrates, but from whole and processed plant foods. And they're called complex carbohydrates. Those that do not spike your insulin levels are the best fuel for the brain. And they provide fiber for your gut, and your gut feeds on fiber. Best sources for carbohydrates are vegetables, legumes, and fruits, with some whole grains if you can tolerate grains. Vegetables should be first choice, organic preferably, because even organic, we're still getting pesticides somewhere along the food chain. It's best to try to be pesticide free. They provide the brain chemistry of well-being. 17 to 13 half-cup servings have been suggested of low-carbohydrate vegetables daily in every color because you get hundreds of phytonutrients. And now it seems like a lot, 7 to 13 half-cup servings. Who really has time to measure or not measure, and who has time to really find 13 half-cup servings? So do your best to get some colorful vegetables in your diet. Choose organic, as I mentioned, whenever possible, because pesticides and herbicides are designed to kill, and they do. They kill weeds and pests, but they also kill and damage the gut. And they also kill and damage the actual plant over time. Believe it or not, after five or so generations, the plants die because of pesticide and herbicide use. All their amino acids, because you know, plants use amino acids too. All those amino acids for their neurotransmission die because of pesticide and herbicide use. And that's why when we eat foods that have had pesticide and herbicide on them, we don't have the ability to make our own neurotransmitters in our gut, and that affects our brain. That's for another podcast, because that's a whole subject in and of itself. We always talk about pesticides and herbicides because it's so prevalent in our society today, and there's a lot to report on that. So eat carbohydrates, whole and processed plant foods, organic whenever necessary or whenever you can. Next, choose lean protein. There are 8 or 9 key essential amino acids that come from protein sources that we eat, and they serve as building the docking stations for our neurotransmitters, docking stations on the cell membranes so that communication can take place. So the importance of consuming complete proteins or proper sources of getting our essential amino acids, that can't be denied. We need that. We need enough protein at every meal. Some sources say 30 to 40 grams. I think it's a bit high. Again, these sources are not taking into account how much do we absorb. The typical American gut probably doesn't absorb too much. So that's probably why it's suggested 30 to 40 grams. But if you have a clean gut and the gut is healthy and the membranes are viable, they're going to absorb pretty much everything. You can be very efficient in your absorbability. So I just wanted to suggest or just say that some sources say 30 to 40 grams, but I don't necessarily agree with that on a personal level. Animal proteins have all the key amino acids, but plant sources, when consumed in the correct combinations, provide all the amino acids as well. You may combine legumes and grain, that's beans and rice, as you know, there's many, many populations around the world that consume this and are healthy, and they live to advanced ages in life and live healthy. Animal sources are very scarce in many parts of the world and also discouraged because of social and religious reasons. And we must also factor that in. Vegans and vegetarians have to be more aware of getting the necessary amount of protein because they have to do food combining and have to do meal preparation a little bit more elaborate. The third, keep in mind your brain is fat. Fat is the next component on the list. We've become very confused about what a good fat really is. Our brain is made up of 60% fat. This fat helps the conduction of nerve impulses, as I mentioned before, in our brain. Good fats are saturated fats and omega-3 essential fatty acids. Saturated fats are very stable fats, and they burn at an even, steady pace, which makes them essential for your brain and heart. Research as far back as 1997 indicates there's no association between the intake of saturated fat and the risk of coronary death. So don't hesitate to eat 3 tablespoons of saturated fat a day, people say in the research field. I say maybe 2 tablespoons. And a saturated fat would be the coconut oil. And you could include 1 tablespoon of omega-3 fat daily or 2 tablespoons of omega-3 fat daily. So a total of 2 to 3 tablespoons of fat daily would be sufficient. Foods like coconut oil, as I mentioned, butter, ghee, which is clarified butter, or even extra virgin olive oil is great for cooking. Avocados, nuts, seeds, coconut milk, they could also be consumed. Try raw-soaked nuts, seeds, almonds, sunflower, pumpkin seeds, or walnuts if you can. All of those things have healthy fat. So we've talked about the carbohydrates, proteins, fat. Now we move to vitamins and minerals. Vitamins and minerals are essential compounds. They help cells communicate as well as manufacture the amino acids. Brain nutrients that have been implicated in brain health are folate, B6, B12, vitamin D, zinc, selenium, and magnesium. If you want to hear specifically, send in some of your comments, I'd be more than happy to take each one of them individually and speak about how they help with the brain. Some research has shown that supplementing with the amino acid tyrosine, essential fats, folate, B12, and B6 can actually lift depression and reduce symptoms of ADHD and Parkinson's disease, for that matter. I've utilized folate, B12, and B6 with people that have had melancholy, women that have been menopausal, that have felt fatigued, and it's really had substantial impact on their feeling of well-being. Keep in mind, the proper diet and nutrition not only improves function of our brain receptors, but helps to reprogram our microbiome. And remember, the article and the talks that I've done on the gut microbiome, do you have the guts to be happy? We want the guts to be happy, so we have to start with the gut microbiome, because the gut-brain axis is the key to health, longevity, and vitality. Of course, it's best to say, if you feel you're suffering from physical problems, the best thing to do is get yourself checked by a functional medicine physician who's aware of diet and nutrition and treats the whole person as an individual, with thinking individual biochemistry, because we're all different. Not everybody is the same. And that's why these fad diets that say everyone should go and stop eating this or eating that, or go and eat this diet. One size diet does not fit all. So keep in mind, your brain has many fuels that it uses: the carbohydrates for energy, the protein for communication due to the neurotransmitters, the fat for insulation, the vitamins and minerals for protection. All of these will help you create a focused brain as well as a healthy mind. The mind and body are one, which means the mind and brain are one. So whatever you do with the mind is affected in the brain, and whatever you're doing with your brain and the nourishment will affect your mind. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. And if you'd like to be notified weekly for new podcasts, please subscribe. The Susan Taylor Podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Also, go to susantaylor.org, where you can click on the podcast to subscribe right there. And contact me. Contact Susan, me, at susantaylor.org if you have any questions, comments, or feedback. I enjoy the feedback that I'm getting, and hence it's starting to give me momentum into what you want to hear and what we should be presenting on our weekly podcast for the community. Again, any questions, comments, and feedback, you can contact us at susantaylor.org. And thank you for listening. The Susan Taylor Podcast does come out each week. Subscribe, and if you really like the content, give us a good evaluation so that we know that we're meeting your needs. Contact us again at susantaylor.org. And until next time, remain calm.